Welcome to the Bone Coach Show, dedicated to helping you understand all things related to diet, lifestyle, bone health, and how you can live and thrive with low bone density and osteoporosis. I'm your host, Kevin Ellis, certified health coach, health and wellness speaker, and above all else, your bone coach. After being diagnosed with osteoporosis in my early 30s, I transformed my health through diet and lifestyle and now help my clients and community members do the same through my online coaching practice, BoneCoach.com. Look, there are no quick and easy cures for low bone density, but the choices we make every single day can have a powerful impact on our bones, our health, and our general well-being. I'll share the research, interview the experts, and help you figure out how to get the conditions right in your body so you can better your bones through diet and lifestyle. Short disclaimer, I'm not a medical doctor, and this show should not be considered medical advice. Always consult with your healthcare team before making medical decisions and changes to your diet and lifestyle. With that being said, let's get on with the show. Today, we're going to explore the prevention, diagnosis, and short and long-term monitoring of osteoporosis through testing.
REMS technology is approximately 5 times more precise than DEXA when it comes to smallest detectable difference. It stands for radio frequency echographic multispectrometry. We want to call it REMS for short, just makes it easier for everyone. The inherent difference here is we're using ultrasound versus X-ray technology to gain information about bone health.
If you haven't done so already, especially if you're newly diagnosed with osteopenia or osteoporosis, or if your most recent bone density scan still showed more bone loss, go ahead and pause this episode and head over to BoneCoach.com to sign up for your free 7-day osteoporosis kickstart guide. That's going to give you everything you need step by step by step over the next 7 days to get on the path to improvement and stronger bones. You won't want to miss that. So pause this right now, head over to BoneCoach.com, and I'll be here as soon as you get back. Accurate bone strength testing and fragility scoring plays such an important role in establishing a correct diagnosis of osteoporosis. Understanding the severity, predicting the risk of future fracture, and monitoring changes in bone over time. We need this information to make the most educated and informed decisions for our health moving forward. That's why today I'm joined by Alex Exposito, who heads up the growth and business development efforts of Echolight Medical. Echolight Medical is an innovative company that has developed the first clinically available method for radiation-free bone health assessment. Echolight's journey started in 2010 when their team had a vision and idea for developing the first radiation-free device for early diagnosis of osteoporosis at the lumbar vertebrae and the femoral neck. Over the years, they've been able to patent this technology, grow a scientific advisory board, gain approval from the FDA, participate in multiple studies that have showed favorable results, and are working toward making their technology a new standard for assessing bone strength and fracture risk. The device they've created is called Echo-S, and it utilizes a proprietary REMS technology. That's radio frequency echographic multispectrometry technology. And this technology scans the lumbar vertebrae and proximal femur, provides a report on bone mineral density, T-score, Z-score, quality of bone microarchitecture, and provides a 5-year probability of a major osteoporosis fracture. Currently today, most people are familiar with a bone density scan called DEXA. And if you were told you have osteoporosis by your doctor, most likely you've had a DEXA scan done. And DEXA stands for dual energy X-ray absorptiometry. And this measures the mineral content of the bone in certain areas of the skeleton. At this point in time, DEXA is the most widely used test for helping to diagnose and monitor osteoporosis. It is the current gold standard. But what we're going to explore today with Alex is why REMS technology may very well be the future of prevention, diagnosis, and short and long-term monitoring of osteoporosis. With that being said, Alex, welcome to the show.
Kevin, thank you so much for having me here. I'm very excited to share this innovative new technology, which we believe has the potential to change the game with regards to how osteoporosis is diagnosed and managed and monitored in the U.S. and abroad.
That's fantastic. And I'd like to start by just asking you to share a little bit of your background and then also just the background of Echolight Medical as a company and its role in the field of osteoporosis.
Sure, absolutely. So I've been involved in medical device industry and commercializing medical products in North America for well over 25 years now. My original background is clinical in both X-ray and the ultrasound imaging field. And Echo Light, as you described earlier, was established in early 2010 as a spinoff of the National Research Council of Italy, which would be the US equivalent, I guess, of the NIH. And the dream was basically to come up with a more effective means by which we could diagnose, monitor, and manage osteoporosis. And as you well described, DEX has been the most widely adopted and used method for many, many years now. And it's not without its limitations. And so we feel that using ultrasound as a different approach might yield some better results and be able to overcome some of these limitations.
Yeah. And so a lot of people aren't familiar with REMS technology, right? And that's the actual technology that, that you all use with the REMS scan. So could we explain a little bit about what is REMS technology?
Sure. So you very well described it stands for radio frequency echographic multispectrometry. We want to call it REMS for short, just makes it easier for everyone. I think the inherent difference here is we're using ultrasound versus X-ray technology to gain information about bone health. And what we actually do is we don't use conventional ultrasound signal. We use raw data to take a look at the frequency response that bone has and look and compare that to normal versus abnormal bone. And as a result, being able to plot and graph that and give you similar information that you would find with DEXA examinations, which would include BMD, T and Z scores. As you mentioned, Kevin, we also have additional information not available with currently with DEXA, which would be bone quality information, which plays a significant part in the overall assessment of a patient's bone health.
Yeah, no, it absolutely does. And can you explain more about, you know, how Echo Light's technology provides that information about bone density and bone quality?
What we've done, and we've got multiple studies on thousands of patients, and I believe we probably have well over 15,000 patients in our database now. So what we do is we will basically insonify. There's two areas of interest for the diagnosis of osteoporosis, which your audience would be familiar with, which is the femoral neck and the lumbar spine. So what we're doing is we're using ultrasound to visualize the anatomical location of interest, and then the system software operated AI will go ahead and do the transmission and reception of data and crunch those numbers versus our established database of normal to abnormal bone, and therefore be able to classify this very similar to what you would see with other modalities.
In terms of just DEXA scan, so why was there a need to improve upon the current DEXA technology?
I think when we, and folks who are educated on osteoporosis and patients who are in that category, if they've done their homework, they'll realize that although DEX is the most widely accepted and adopted method, it's not without its limitations. And those are primarily along the lines of patient positioning and then interpretation of the study. What we've done using ultrasound as a method of doing this is we've taken away a lot of these limitations that are inherent with DEXA and allowed the system to provide a more accurate diagnosis by eliminating artifacts and not being so technically dependent on a patient positioning or on the expertise of the user.
And so I know a lot of people are familiar with, if they've been diagnosed with osteoporosis, they had a DEXA scan. Some people are less people are familiar with trabecular bone score, which looks at bone quality. Can you share the key differences between a DEXA scan, a trabecular bone score, and REMS?
Sure. So with DEXA, DEXA has the capability of providing you with bone quantity information or bone mineral density. However, it does not have the capability to provide you with bone quality information. That's where TBS as an add-on software comes into play. It takes existing DEXA images and looks at their pixel pattern and is able to establish information on bone quality. What we've done is combine both of those using ultrasound technology and independent of each other, be able to come up with information on both bone quantity and bone quality from one single scan.
That's fantastic. What's the difference between the TBS, since we're talking about bone quality, what would be the difference between TBS, one measure of bone quality, and the REMS, I believe you call it a fragility score, correct?
Correct. Correct. So we have to keep in mind that with TBS, you're actually taking an existing DEXA image and then evaluating the pixel pattern on that DEXA image. What we're doing, and that's independent of BMD itself, what we're doing is we're looking at, and this was based on several thousand patients, women, over a 5-year that we followed them to fracture. And that's the database that we use in order to plot this. And again, this is independent of FRAX. It's independent of DEXA. It's parameters are based on two things. One is our osteoporosis score from where we derive our bone quantity information, and then our fragility score from where we derive our bone quality information.
Okay. And then how does REMS calculate a person's fracture risk? Like, how is that different from the current FRAX tool that's available right now?
Sure. I mean, FRAX has been around for quite some time and is the most widely available tool. As you know, it's a subjective tool where you manually input information. I think the only thing really that you would put in there would be based on your DEXA, would be your T-score. We are not using any of those parameters taken into consideration. We're primarily just using a different algorithm to take a look at the frequency response from bone and be able to then look at trabecular bone and come up with microarchitectural information.
So it's more objective, a more objective
measure.
Definitely. Yeah.
Correct.
Okay. So when we're talking about, you know, this REMS scan that someone's going to get, which areas of the body are we assessing and reporting on? Is there a difference from a DEXA scan, or is it the same areas? Could you elaborate on that a little bit?
Sure. So for diagnosis of osteoporosis, it's two primary areas that we look at, and that would be the hip and the spine. And that's exactly what we're doing with REMS technology. The use of ultrasound in the bone health space is not new, but the only technology that was available prior to the introduction of REMS was the use of ultrasound to look at peripheral sites. And by looking at peripheral sites, it was more of a screening tool than a diagnostic tool. If something came back abnormal on a screening test using ultrasound, you would then have to refer them over to a DEXA to gain a true diagnosis for that patient. By using these central sites, hip and spine, we're able to provide a true diagnostic parameter for physicians. So this is not to be confused with QUS or with DEXA. This is almost the best of both worlds. No radiation, looking at central sites, overcoming some of the inherent limitations of DEXA, and be able to provide not only bone density, but bone quality information all in one.
What's the procedure like? How does that differ from the patient's current experience with a DEXA scan?
You know, I think from that perspective, the patient experience is going to be very similar, with the exception of there's no radiation involved. The examination will typically take about 10 minutes. And for anyone in your audience has ever had an ultrasound done, whether that be for OB, a look at the heart, a look at your carotids, or a look at your abdomen, it's a very similar exam. We're going to use an ultrasound device. We're going to use an ultrasound transducer. We're going to place some gel on that transducer. And that transducer is going to be placed in the two anatomical sites. One would be right in the area of the groin so that we can visualize the head of the femur, the neck, and the trochanter. And then over the lumbar spine, we're going to be identifying lumbar vertebrae L1 through L4. Each one of those acquisitions takes anywhere to 40 to 80 seconds. And all the patient needs to do is to lie still. They don't need to hold their breath. They don't need to be placed in any specific position, because we manually will make up for any positioning adjustments that need to be made manually with the transducer itself. So it's less than 10 minutes, no pain. Very simple examination. And once that examination is completed, we're able to generate a report, which will include BMD information, T and Z scores, and then, of course, fragility score, which is our equivalent or version of looking at bone quality information.
Okay, so the reporting itself looks very similar, or at least is looking at the same things that somebody is most likely familiar with if they're already familiar with a bone density scan.
Absolutely. I think when we put this together and we looked at the reporting package, it's just looks, in my opinion, it looks like a more modern day version of what a DEXA report looks like. Same values are going to be there. You're going to be able to compare DEXA values from that report to a REMS report with regards to what information is being provided.
That's great. I noticed, you know, on the reports, there's the colors, classification, different things like that that are on there. So a lot of similar elements, but then also I would agree. From what I've seen, it does look like a bit of a more modern version of that. Yeah. And then How are the scan results affected? I know we have listeners that have fractures also. So how are the scans affected if someone has, previous surgeries, vertebroplasty, kyphoplasty, maybe different hardware or artifacts or something like that? How does that affect the actual scan itself?
Sure. So that's one of the more promising things that our technology brings to the table, is that since we're looking at the frequency response of normal and abnormal bone, and we've got that information in our database, if we were to get back a signal that is outside of that frequency range of normal and abnormal bone, such as you would see with hardware or osteophytes or some other artifacts that are inherent in the spine, we will eliminate that from the actual calculation itself. So in circumstances that you would see a false positive or false negative based upon artifacts or even positioning of the spine erroneously, our technology shows the promise of being able to eliminate that from the data that is being generated and the report that's being provided.
That's great. And then I know a big concern for a lot of people before they go into their DEXA scan is, oh, don't take your calcium, X amount of time before you go in and get the DEXA scan. Any effect there? Is that going to affect, the REMS exam as well?
We have not crossed that yet, but I have not seen anything to indicate that that would be a limitation on our end.
Okay. And then in terms of how are the scans affected if someone has varying spinal anatomy? So like not just a fracture, but spondylolisthesis, scoliosis. How does that also affect the exam?
Sure. So another, again, with regards to the spine and the advantages that REMS technology brings to the table, given that positioning is not the most important aspect of the exam, we manually will do a pre-scan over the area of the lumbar vertebrae, and we'll find the lay of the spine with regards to the transducer and the anatomy. And so when we acquire, we're actually acquiring over the length of that vertebral body, as opposed to DEXA, where you have some variation of the spine, and that's what causes a lot of the lack of, let's say, accuracy with regards to those types of conditions. So we've already seen, in fact, we recently did some scanning with osteogenesis imperfecta patients, which in the majority of cases, DEXA cannot provide any type of information. And we were pleasantly surprised, even though this is on a limited basis, we were able to scan and obtain additional clinical data that the clinician could then use to treat those patients. So more on that in the future, but it's very exciting as we're able to look at things that DEXA can't.
Yeah, no. And osteogenesis imperfecta is more of a rare condition, but are any other conditions that are associated with bone health that this might be applicable for, that this technology might be applicable for?
Another area of interest, and this is coming specifically from, bone health experts in the U.S. that we've engaged. Another area of interest would be with pregnancy or lactation-induced osteoporosis. If you think about OB and radiation, they just don't go well together. So given the fact that this is ultrasound-based technology, there is a renewed interest now in being able to possibly take a look at that and be able to do something about that, as opposed to just have to work around that because of the pregnancy.
Sure. And then in plain language, I know when we talk about studies, it's hard for everyone to understand those things, but can you talk about the studies that have been conducted using Echolight and what did the outcomes of these studies show?
Sure. Absolutely. I think I'd just like to highlight on two. I mean, one of the larger studies that was several thousands of patients, and this was a multi-European, multi-center trial, was we wanted to assess the diagnostic accuracy of REMS technology with respects to DEXA. And the conclusion of that exam was that the diagnostic effectiveness of REMS technology at reference anatomical sites, i.e. we're talking about femur and spine, was that the assessment of osteoporosis has been confirmed in a large series of female patients. And our FDA clearance also alludes to the fact that this can be used for screening in women for osteoporosis. The other study I wanted to talk about was the use of the fragility score, which we talked about. And again, our fragility score is what evaluates bone quality versus bone quantity. And so the purpose of that study was to look at fragility score calculated by REMS and how it estimates skeletal fragility regardless of BMD. And the conclusion of that exam was that the fragility score that was obtained from REMS femoral scans is an effective tool for identifying the risk of femoral fracture.
That's great. That's really good. So I do want to talk about something that I think is important important to note specifically about DEXA scans too, I'd like to talk about least significant change, which is not something everyone's familiar with, but I'm gonna explain this a little bit and then ask for some thoughts from you, Alex. With sure. DEXA scan testing, there's something called the least significant change. And the least significant change is it's used to account for variations between two different tests on the same patient. So it's basically the margin of error for a DEXA scan. And the margin of error is usually, I don't know, about 3 to 5%, a 3 to 5% margin of error. So if someone is going in every year and is told they lost or gained 1% or 2%, it's really hard to know if that's an actual loss or improvement because it's still within the margin of error. So Alex, what I'd like to understand is when it comes to Echolight and the REMS technology, what does the margin of error look like? How precise is REMS?
Absolutely. So REMS technology is approximately 5 times more precise than DEXA when it comes to smallest detectable difference. When we speak about least, so the reason I bring that up is because monitoring is such an important part of osteoporosis treatment. And right now, monitoring is recommended at about a 1 to 2 year interval. Not because there isn't changes going on, but because it's not detectable by current technology. So by being 5 times more sensitive to that smallest detectable difference, we should be able to see changes in bone mass in as little as 6 months compared to current technology that's out there. Now, with regards to least significant change, and you bring up a super important point, is we are less than 1%. So it's right about 1% at the lumbar and less than 1% at the femur. So again, we're able to pick up least significant change much better than DEXA is. So again, these are the areas that are so promising. And we've got results in clinical trials that have been done overseas. They're very powerful. They're very, what's the word I'm looking for? I guess they've been very well received by bone health specialists. And we're excited about being able to confirm that same type of data here in the US.
That's fantastic. Some people may be like, well, why does it matter? You know, 1, 2% or 3%. Why do those small numbers matter? Bone remodeling is a slow process, right? You know, if you're seeing massive jumps in a short period of time, like a year, that's probably something's probably going on there. So that's why, as we're talking about these in terms of there's probably an error in positioning, interpretation, something like that. That's why when Alex and I are talking about this now, these small percentage differences can really make a difference and help us better understand that. So I want to also expand on repeatability for a minute. So oftentimes people hear, you know, repeatability, reproducibility, reliability, those are often kind of used synonymously. And that's the extent to which a tool is capable of producing the same result when used repeatedly in the same circumstances. So because using a different scan can lead to different inaccurate comparison. So if somebody gets a DEXA scan in one place and then goes and gets a DEXA scan in a different place, a current challenge they have is they feel chained to a specific DEXA scan because they don't want to have errors in their DEXA scan, or they want to have an apples to apples comparison. They can't just go anywhere in the country, get another scan because it won't be an accurate representation of the changes taking place. So for example, you know, people that live in New York and go to Florida for the winters or something like that, you're going to have different results. So is that still an issue with REMS? Can someone go from one REMS device in one city to another REMS device in another city and not worrying about having widely varied results?
Sure. So again, what our initial studies have shown is that our intra and intraoperator repeatability are very good when compared to current technology. Less than 1% variability there. So although the technique has to be applied properly and the exam has to be done properly, if you follow the correct guidelines and technique for this criteria, you should have much better consistency from place to place, from site to site, and from technological user to tech user.
So you bring up a good point there, which is technique, right? With DEXA, a lot of errors associated with positioning and interpretation. And that can have to do with the level of experience that technician may have. Does that level of experience matter with REMS?
Sure. Our experience thus far has shown that given the fact that this technology is not as patient positioning dependent, that you don't have to manually set regions of interest for calculations to occur, that is much less dependent on that particular training that individual receives. As with every new imaging modality, and nothing is perfect, there is a learning curve. What we've seen is people who are in the imaging world, be it X-ray, ultrasound, even bone densitometry, they can pick this up fairly quickly because you're basically using ultrasound for guidance. If you were to say to somebody, well, I want you to perform an ultrasound procedure, that's a whole different animal that we're talking about. What we're talking about is using ultrasound for guidance to find an area of interest and then allow the system to do its job. So we have found for femur scans, usually about 25 exams is what it takes to become proficient. And for lumbar spines, it's probably twice that much. So probably right around that 50 patient threshold to have proficiency in these two areas that we're currently scanning.
What I'm picking up from what you're saying is that it's harder to have errors in positioning interpretation. Yes, you still need somebody who understands the technology, but it's less likely that there's going to be errors in that. That's
yes.
Okay.
You summed that up well, Kevin. And you know, with all of the different societies and all the different specialties that are involved with osteoporosis treatment and diagnosis, we're open and engaging them, and we're happy to develop a certification program along with their guidelines to make sure that there is a level of expertise that can be expected in this as this begins to and continues to evolve here in the US and abroad.
We work with a lot of women, you know, in our programs and things like that, that smaller boned, petite women. How will this scan, the REM scan, affect those results? Because sometimes Absolutely. Those results can be affected and skewed by a DEXA scan. So how is that going to be affected by REMS?
Absolutely. And that's a great question. And this is something that if you think about the modality, so X-ray relies on through transmission for it to acquire a signal and to then process this information, whereas ultrasound is using transmission and reception of ultrasound signals. So we are independent of bone size. So if you have a patient with a smaller frame, smaller overall size, that BMD is not going to be impacted. It's independent of their bone size. It will not compound that, and it will not give you an erroneous result.
That's fantastic. Okay, so what limitations does Echolight have?
Sure. I think what we're hearing in the field is that vertebral fracture assessment, which is traditionally done with either X-ray or with DEXA, if it's got that additional option, is something that we currently do not are not able to provide because it's an X-ray based technology. So I would say that's probably the inherent clinical limitation. I think the other limitation is just being a new technology in this space. It requires quite a heavy lifting to get this awareness and adoption out there. And so that's what we really see as the challenge, not so much as the clinical limitation.
Okay, so that it's not really, not so widely available just yet.
Correct.
And then what's the ideal frequency of monitoring for REM? So, you know, current standard for most people is, you know, they go in, they get their DEXA scan, they get told their results, come back in a year or two. What does that look like for REMS? What's the frequency?
Correct. So we're thinking based upon the initial studies that we have out there with 5 times the sensitivity, we're expecting to be able to see some changes in probably a couple of months to 6 months, depending on the aggressiveness of the medication and other factors with that patient is on.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. So more frequent testing, and obviously not having the radiation or anything associated with a DEXA scan too. Is this covered by insurance?
So currently this is not covered by insurance. We are diligently working with leaders in the field to establish the CPT code. That's something that's the long game for us. I believe what we've seen in the short term is that there is a lot of interest from patients with osteoporosis who are seeking a second opinion and have learned about this technology and what some of the advantages are over the current technology and are interested in taking a look and getting a second opinion. So That's really where we see this for the short term, but long term, we're looking at CPT codes as is normal in the U.S. healthcare system.
That's fantastic. So in terms of out-of-pocket expense, so if somebody does get access to the REMS technology, what would they be looking for out-of-pocket?
Sure. What we've seen seems to be right around $100 cost of out-of-pocket for a REMS examination. Now, remember, there's a couple of different components here. You could do femur, you could do spine, you could look at bone quality. So you've got three different things that you can combine there and structure it as you see fit. But if you think of FSA accounts, HSA accounts, and deductibles that patients pay out of pocket to have a DESA examination, this is not really that far away from that space, and you're providing them with more accuracy, more reproducibility, and bone quality as well as bone quantity information.
That's great. Why is it unlikely that, you know, our listeners have not yet heard about REMS technology and Echolight?
Sure. So I think, you know, we've Echolight Medical is the wholly owned U.S. subsidiary of Echolight, the Italian headquarters for Echolight. And we've been in the U.S. here for just under a year. So it's been a trying time with the pandemic that we're just coming out of now. So I think you'll continue to see more and more uptick and awareness and adoption of this technology over the coming years.
And what does adoption look like in Europe right now?
So we began selling product internationally in 2017, and we have several hundred units placed throughout Europe and other parts of the world. Like I said, with our recent introduction into the US here just over 9 months ago.
If we want more access to this technology, what can physicians be doing to help increase adoption of REMS technology in the US?
Sure. I mean, we would encourage physicians who are bone health specialists and are interested in this area, we'd be happy to discuss with them, bring in the technology, share it with whether it be the healthcare system, the private physician group. We're here to raise awareness and adoption of this technology. So that's one of the ways we can do this.
That's great. So they would be reaching out to you. So maybe your website or something like that.
Yeah, we'd definitely refer you over to our website. We've got clinical publications on there, and we've got a team here in the U.S. which would be happy to engage with those people who feel that this type of innovative technology and early adopters of this would want to learn more.
What can individual patients be doing, you know, to access the technology sooner?
Sure. So we have a limited number of sites here in the U.S. that are up and running with this technology, but we would be more than happy to try to connect them with these individuals and see if it makes sense for them to visit them and get this exam done in their office. We also provide a patient or physician informational sheet for those patients that have been scanned so that they can take those to their, whether it be their primary care or their specialist, and share with them a little bit about what this technology is, what the advantages are, and how does it compare to the current gold standard. So we've got a link that I'd be able to provide for you so that they can have access to that information. And we encourage them to share that with their doctors.
So it almost sounds, you know, that there is something that patients can do to help spread the word about the technology, get it to where there may be more of these facilities available that have REMS technology. So I'll be sure to link to that in the show notes as well. And then how can people learn? I know we're wrapping up on our time here, Alex, but how can people learn more about Echolight as its presence continues to grow?
Sure. So I would encourage you to visit our website, and I'm sure you can share that link with them, echolightmedical.com. And we've got a mailing list you can sign up for. We can keep you in the loop as we begin to expand our penetration here in the US and abroad.
That's fantastic. Well, Alex, I just want to thank you again so much for your time. Appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule to chat with us and to share with us this amazing technology, it sounds like, for not just bone density, but bone quality. And I'm excited to see and learn more about its development and progression here in the U.S.
Kevin, thank you for the opportunity, and thanks for sharing this technology with you and your audience.
Hope you found this episode of the Bone Coach Show helpful. You can find all the resources, show notes, everything mentioned over at bonecoach.com/osteoporosis-testing-Echolight-REMS. If you enjoyed this episode and found it helpful, be sure to share it with someone you love, a friend, family member, even a group of people. And also be sure to hit that subscribe button so you never miss an episode that can help you improve your bones, your health, and your future. One last reminder, if you haven't done so already, head over to bonecoach.com for more great resources to help you get on the path to stronger bones and an active future. I'm your Bone Coach, Kevin Ellis. I'll see you in the next episode.